We're finish up chapter 8 today. I thought we were going to get into chapter 9. I even brought some of chapter 9's notes. But I determined that we just need to finish up what we've got on chapter 8 and take our time and get this right. And then we'll go to chapter 9 next week, and it looks like it'll be a couple of weeks' study. And then in chapter 10, we move. We get all the way from Sinai. And we started heading for the Jordan. And we get there in about chapter 12. We got to make a decision if we want to go in or not. Okay. But we're about to leave. Now, what we've been looking at in chapter 7 has been a study on ordination of the Levi. And the way we have been, chapter 8, excuse me, and the way we have been looking at this is ordination for leadership. We're going to incorporate these truths that we're seeing into ordination from henceforth. And we'll kind of recap those in just a second. But once again, I want to reinforce the fact that we, as was the nation of Israel of old, is called to be a kingdom of priests. And in Exodus chapter 19, let's read verse 5 and 6. The Lord God says, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." I think it says a peculiar people in King James. In verse 6, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Now, he wasn't only talking to the Levites here, was he? He was talking to the whole nation. And he says the whole nation is to be a kingdom of priests. "These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel," as he instructs Moses to say these things. So the whole nation of Israel was called to be a kingdom of priests. Was the whole nation a kingdom of priests? No. Did the whole nation minister? Who ministered? The Levites. Now, what we've got to see is that this also incorporates into us. And again, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, I know we did this last week, but this is, I think, vital right now. You see, we are priests unto God. And you're called to be a priest. You're called to minister. What do priests do? Minister at the altar. And so if you're called to be a kingdom of priests, then you're called to minister at the altar. When people go down to be ministered to, most of the time, there's a plague in their lives. Something's happening in their lives. And we're going to look at it today. We'll see that's why the Levites were chosen and ordained, was because they were to stay the plagues upon the people when they came into the tabernacle. We'll see that tonight, today. And what we're supposed to do as a kingdom of priests, when we go to that altar to minister to people, we're supposed to be able to stay the plague. And so if we're really a kingdom of priests, then we need to understand that when we go there to minister, that we're going there. And Jesus says, "Whatsoever things that you bound on earth were bound in heaven, and whatsoever things that you loosed is loosed in heaven." So we got this authority to go and to minister to people's lives. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you," this is New Testament, "you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim his excellencies of him who was called out of the darkness into marvelous light." Now, do we then, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, are we chosen to be a priesthood? The whole nation of us, every one of us, is this correct? But do we? Are all the people of God, all the New Covenant, New Testament people, are they priests? Do they minister? No. Should they? Should they mature and grow to the place that they can minister? Sure. Okay. One more, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. I like King James, has washed us from our sins. And he has made us to be what? Kings and priests, or a kingdom, comma, priest to his God. And Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Again, we see that what we are called for in the New Testament is to be priest unto God. And when people go to that altar, when they go down there on Sundays or Wednesdays or any time, there's usually something going on in their life or they wouldn't be there. Am I right? And as a kingdom of priests, then the responsibility in our lives is to stop the plague in their lives. What's happened most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, I don't want to make a blanket statement here, because sometimes you're doing everything, like a Job situation, doing everything that you know to do is right, and still things go wacko. But most of the times, people are doing something out of the will of God, and a plague has come upon them. And when they get down there, they need to know how to stop that plague. So that's what priests are to do, is minister at the altar, to be an atonement to stop the plagues upon the people. And that's what we're looking at today, and we've been looking at that for 3 weeks now, and this will be the last time that we're studying this. Now, you've got pages 165, 66, 67, and 68. Is that correct for today? We've been looking at these things, and we're looking at, and I've given you so far, a list of 7 aspects of an ordination service that are found here. We're going to look at one more today. This will be number 8. But these are the things that the Levite had to experience to be an ordained ministry, a minister to stop the plagues that were coming into people's lives. The first one that we saw is a Levite was a part of the nation, and everybody was not a Levite. Again, everyone will not minister, and I just want to touch this just a little bit. Do you want everybody to lay hands on you? And we saw last week with the laying on of hands that there is an impartation. You can't get away from that. I mean, whoever lays hands on you, you want them to have things in pretty good order, because there is an impartation that happens with the laying on of hands. And so it's probably good, Doug, that everybody doesn't minister sometimes. Okay, we saw that, but there was a cleansing. Moses sprinkled them with water, but there was a washing that they had to do themselves. There was a shaving of the flesh, clean flesh, shaving of the hair. There was a clean flesh. There was a willingness to sacrifice. It cost something to be in ministry. They were brought before the congregation and hands laid upon them by the congregation. And then there was time that was spent with Aaron for cleansing and for sacrifices. And then number 7 that we saw, that they had to understand they were under the authority of Aaron and under the authority of his sons. Now, on page 165, we'll start today. And it says there that after that shall the Levites go in. Now, when you go through the Word of God like we're going through it and trying to pull out the nuggets, and little things like this jump out after you. Actually, they couldn't go in to minister to people until they went through these first 7 steps. After that shall the Levites go in. Let's read Numbers 8:14 there. And 15. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites. In other words, this is how you'll separate the Levites from among the children of Israel. I'm on the notes, page 165 at the top on the right. And the Levites shall be mine. Verse 15. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. After that shall the Levites go in. There was something that had to happen in these lives before God would allow them to go in and minister at the altar to people. And we've been trying to dig these things up and see what needed to happen in an individual's life before they were really ordained into ministry. I want to read that paragraph, please. Rehearsing in hearing and understanding. This was one of the things that they had to sit with Aaron and sit with his sons, and things were rehearsed in their hearing. The following verses, 14 through 19, are truths the Levites already knew. These verses concern who the Levites belonged to, why the Lord chose them, who they served, and what their purpose was. Moses rehearsed these truths prior to ordination. The establishing of these truths must happen before they could enter the tabernacle of the congregation. Only after they submitted to the cleansing and understood their purpose could they enter the service. Now, what is it trying to say to us? What am I trying to get to here? Well, we are at a point right now where we really want to bring in a core of deacons. And what I'm really wanting to do is before we do it, before we bring in the deacons, I want it understood their purpose. I want them to know. See, we've gone through all these years. We've ordained elders and we've ordained deacons. I don't know how many. And when we come into it, that's all we do is we just ordain them. We don't sit with them, and we don't give them their purpose, and we don't tell them what their duties are. So they get in there, and they're elders and they're deacons, but they don't do anything. And I get frustrated, and others get frustrated because they're not doing nothing. And the problem is they don't know what to do. Is that right? And who runs a business like that? Turk, when you tell Steve to go to Atlanta, you don't tell him, just go down to Atlanta and find out whatever you want to do. You tell him what he's supposed to do. Doug, you hire somebody to go wrap meat. You don't say, well, just any way you want to. There's a job description, am I right? And this is what we've got to. I think elders need a job description. I think praise and worship team needs a job description. I think ushers need a job description. And what I'm seeing, and we're thinking, whoa now. I don't know about this. I ain't never had a church that had job descriptions before. And that's one reason that Jesus says that the world is wiser in its generation than the sons of God, children of God. Am I right? See, we need to know what's expected of us before we get into it. Because we've tried to get them into it and then tell them what we expected, and that don't work. So before they were ordained, they sat with Aaron, they sat with the sons of Aaron, they went through this thing, and they understood what they were supposed to do. The Gershonites were supposed to move this. The Merariites were supposed to move this. The Kohathites were supposed to move this. This is how you take care of a sin offering. This is how you take care of a burnt offering. This is what you do with a meal offering. And when you do, this is the way we want it done. But the way we run the church is just, well, just come. However you want to do it. And everybody gets frustrated. And then the reason is that nobody's told them what to do. And we're kind of afraid to tell them what to do because maybe they'll get mad and won't do it. So this is where I'm heading. And this is what I really want to draw from this lesson today. Now, the Levites shall be mine. The Levites shall be mine, he says. And he says, I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. Now, I've already studied this. It's on pages 60 and 64 of your notes. It's back in chapter 3. So I'm not going to get into it really deep. But just to show you what happens here and why he chose the Levites. The final plague in Egypt at the Exodus was the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians. The Lord passed through Egypt destroying the firstborn. You all know that. It was the 10th and the final plague. In Exodus chapter 32, Moses is up on the mount and Aaron's down here making a golden calf. God gets a little angry about that. And Moses comes back down and he crushes the thing up and he makes them eat it. How many times, you know, a lot of times you have to eat those crazy things. And he made them eat it. And then the people got all upset about this, so he drew a line, and he says, those on the Lord's side, stand over here. And the whole tribe of Levi came over. They had a special zeal for God. How many knows that when you really love to minister to people, you have a special zeal for God? That you're willing to cross the line, get out of your comfort zone, get away from the majority, into the minority, and you'll come over there, and you'll fight with God. And he says, if you're on God's side, then cross the line. And the Levites crossed the line. And they displayed this special zeal for God. And the Lord chose the Levites and gave them a special blessing. But it doesn't say there in Exodus 32 what that special blessing was. And then in Numbers 3, we saw that the Lord exchanged the Levites for the other Israelites. The firstborn of the Israelites, he got redemption money, except he was swapped out the whole tribe of the Levites for them, and they still owed him some money, some redemption money. So the redemption money was really for God to purchase the Levites. That's how God purchased the Levites, with redemption money. And now he owns the Levites. And you are bought with a price. You're no longer your own. You belong to Him. And see, this is what He has redeemed us. From all the people, He has redeemed us to be a priest and a kingdom unto Him. And now it says they were wholly given unto Him. Now, if you'll look at verse 17 there on the right side, in chapter 8, verse 17... For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And then verse 18. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. He swapped them. He swapped the firstborn for the Israel, of all the firstborn of Israel, for the Levites. That's how he got them. That's how they became his. Now he owns the Levites. Levites have the special zeal. Something inside of you says that I really want to wholly belong to the Lord. Now, the way you know if this is you, and if you are called, and you are chosen to be in it, but are you walking in it, is, can you lay down what you want to do and do what you need to do for the kingdom of God? You see, there's a lot of times in my life when I might want to be doing something that I'd want to do, but something's happening in somebody's life. And they call and say, can you come? Can you counsel? Can you do this or can you do that? What the Levite has to do is do it. You lay it down, and you go and do it. If this is the way you feel, if this is what you are, if you're, this is inside of you, the special zeal for God, that you'll cross that line and you'll just go and do it, and you put down your life for someone else's life, then you're a Levite. And you need to be ministering. I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his son. So, again, understand that you're not only your own, you're not only not your own, that you totally aren't yours anymore. You've been bought with a price. You belong to God. But now He's going to take you and give you to somebody else. I know this, people don't really like this kind of talk, but this is what really happened. This is what happened in my life. When I really got serious with God and wanted to serve God, He not only said, well, you're not yours anymore. You got to not do what you want to do. You got to do what somebody else wants to do. But I'm going to take and give you to Pastor Buren. And you got to serve him. And whatever he wants you to do, do it. And again, if this is grinding your gut and your spirit and you say, not me, brother, then you're not the Levite. And you know, that's what I'm trying to show us here. Is that if you can't serve Aaron, then there's something wrong. become a gift to the people. I want to read that second paragraph under point C there. I've given the Levites as a gift to Aaron. To be an ordained Levite, the rehearsing of the aspect of serving Aaron took place in their hearing. To be a minister in the congregation of God's people, this truth needs rehearsing before the ordination takes place. A minister that will not serve is not a kingdom ministry. It will bring hardship upon other leadership. It will set a terrible example for the flock. It shows rebellion and laziness. You do not want ordained leaders who will not serve. I will never again ordain leaders who will not serve. Do you want ministry that serves? Sure. If you're in a need and you need somebody, you want somebody, you need somebody, then there's a plague in your life and you need somebody to come with the censer and stop that thing. Well, look at that in just a second. And again, like I said a while ago, we've ordained leaders and we've ordained over the years, but we've never sat down and really told them what was expected of them. And I'm telling you that this is helping me because it's really showing me that that needs to take place. Let there be no plague among the children of Israel. Look at verse 19, right next to point D. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to the sons and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel. Why? Why has he given them to make an atonement? Why? That there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. Why have Levites? Why have ministry? Why make sure they understand their purposes and their duties? Why sit with them? Why make sure that these seven or eight principles are ingrained and a part of their life? Why make sure that they can lay it down and go minister to people? Why? So that the plagues that come upon our lives can be stopped. Now, I don't know if nobody's amening, but I really want us to hear this. I'm on page 166. Let me know the Lord has ways of doing things. And if you do them His way, there's always blessings that the Bible says will overtake you. Now, how many of you are being overtaken with blessings? How many of you sometimes feel that there's a plague in your life and it overtakes you? Nobody's doing either, huh? Linda kind of half-masked there a little bit. She wanted to get it up, but nobody else did, so she wouldn't. Look at Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2 on page 166 on the right upper column. And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do. Jesus said you don't only need to hear them. What do you need to do? To do them. You don't just hear it. You got to do it. Hear it and to do it. All his commandments, these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. But, verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of thy Lord God, of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses will come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, I know nobody's here. Nobody here has ever felt like curses were overtaking them. But I really have ministered to people that it appeared to me that curses were overtaking them. And their lives, it's just like financial bondage is just consuming them, just overtaking them. Family, overtaking them. Children, wife, husband, boss, work, sickness. Well, this is where the Levi comes in. And I know that some people here say, well, that's the Old Testament. That's the curse. That's the Old Testament. Is it? Jesus says in John 8:32 that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you, NIV, King James says, make you free. Okay. Now, you shall, let's quote it right, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Does just truth make you free? No, the truth you know makes you free. See, this is truth, right? But this in itself, if I don't have it in here or here, will it make me free? No, it's just truth. It's the truth you know. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth that you know makes you free. Now, what God has done in His plan and scheme of things is He set specific people in amongst His people, called the Levites in the Old Testament, in ministries in the New Testament, and these people are supposed to know the truth. And they're supposed to impart the truth to people, and that truth is supposed to help set those people free. Free from the plagues. Free from things that are overtaking them. Free from bondages. This is what the duty of the ordained minister is supposed to be. Now, is the curses Old Testament? Let me just ask you a few questions. What if you do not know about discerning the body of Christ and you take communion? What does the Bible says happens to you? What happens? Sick, weak, and dead. Sounds like a curse to me. But if you know that, if you know that you've got to discern the body properly, then when you drink that and you eat that, then you're eating and drinking it into life because you're judging yourself. See, it's you got to know the things of God. You got to understand them, and that's what the Levite is for and the priest are for. One more. Well, a couple more. What if you don't know about forgiveness? And you don't know that you're supposed to forgive people? What does Father do for us? He doesn't forgive us. Do you understand that? Now, that sounds tough to me. I want Him to forgive me. But if I didn't know that, if I didn't know that I had to forgive and walk in forgiveness and live a lifestyle of forgiveness, then I could live in a curse. No matter how much I pray and ask for forgiveness, if I'm not forgiving, I'm not being forgiven. Okay? What about if you lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back a part of what belongs to God? Ananias, what happens? Sounds pretty serious to me. Huh? And say, but if you know the truth, the truth will make you, set you free. See, this is the way God works. I have one more here. If you don't know the Lord's chain of blessing for a home, where he quotes in, where he tells us in Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And this is what the blessings comes through. If you don't understand that, and you've got your home in a reverse order, in an upside down situation, you don't know how to orchestrate your home, will your home function and flow correctly? Guarantee it won't. But if you know how to set your home up and you know how to orchestrate these things, then you're set free from a lot of problems that the world goes through. So, this is for us today. And what a ministry should do, what a Levite should do, is when we go to that altar to pray for people, or when we go to somebody's house, or when we sit with counsel with them, we're supposed to know the truth. To stop the plague that's in their life. To provide an atonement for them. Now, who is the atonement? Jesus. Does He provide in His atonement good things for us? So we understand who the atonement is, and that and that the problem is answered somewhere in that atonement. And just like the Israelites all knew that there was some way to get forgiven for sins, but if they didn't know somebody to tell them how to do the sin offering, then they might be offering the wrong things and doing it all wrong and never get forgiven for the sins. So what we're talking about here is not just to study the book of Numbers. My goodness, we all can read the book of Numbers. What we're trying to do is establish principles that will get us away from Sinai. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to go on. And one of the things is to have ordained ministry in the house of God. People that can stay and stop the plagues upon people's lives. I'm going to read a second paragraph from the bottom on page 166. New Testament ordained leadership and ministry help us avoid the plagues and invoke the blessings. A ministry in the house of God must know truth and impart truth. There is nothing that brings enjoyment as when people are in the midst of a plague and I can bring understanding to stay the plague. Now that's where the fulfillment comes, folks. Is when you really help somebody adjust things in their life so the plague is stopped. And we have a tremendous example of this. And I want you to look with me in the book of Numbers chapter 16. And I want you to notice that I put 17 in your notes on that last paragraph. A great example of this is in number 17. Change that to 16. That should be number 16. Number 16. And I want you to turn to verse 41. Now we'll be here this is 1994. By 1997, we ought to be in chapter 16. Now, I'm noticing that a lot of the principles are beginning to repeat. So, but I'm really getting some good stuff. And I'm going to rehearse next week just a little bit of what we're after in this study. But in Numbers chapter 16. What's happening in here is a guy named Korah and his company has instituted and ignited a rebellion. And they've come to Moses and to Aaron and they say, "You took too much on yourself. Everybody can hear God." And that's very true. But the Lord has a way that he does things, and the way he did this was through Moses and through Aaron. They were the vessels that he placed over this thing. Well, Korah and his company rebelled, and in about verses 31 through 35 there, Korah and his company are swallowed up in the earth. And fire comes out and consumes them, their houses, and everything. And we're going to study this, but because of his rebellion, it's not so much what he said; it was the attitude in which he brought it, and the thrust is that he was wanting the authority and the power, and not functioning in submission. And by the way, Korah was a Levite. You need to understand that. He was put under Aaron, but he didn't like that. And then the people in verse 36 verse 41, that's where I want to go. Let's just go ahead and get there. What happens here is that after all this has happened, the people begin to murmur and say that it was Aaron and Moses' fault because God killed them. Now let's read this. And what I'm wanting you to look for now is the Levite that stays the plague. But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people." It came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly." Then they fell on their faces, and Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censer." Now, what is the censer and incense representative of? Prayer. Take your prayer, take your vessel, take your censer and put fire in it from the altar and lay incense on it and then bring it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone forth from the Lord. The plague has begun. How many knows that a lot of time grumbling and murmuring institutes the wrath of God? And you'll find that these people that grumble and murmur live in plagues. He tells Aaron, Aaron, get your prayer life going, buddy, and get out there. Then Aaron took it as Moses had spoken and ran into the midst of the assembly, for behold, the plague had begun among the people. So he put on the incense, put on the prayer, and made atonement for the people. And he took his stand between the dead and the living, so that the plague was checked or stayed. It was Aaron the Levite. But those who died by the plague were 14,700, besides those who died on account of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the doorway of the tent of meeting, for the plague had been stayed. What the Levite has to be able to do is when people bungle up and get their lives in a mess and that the cursings are overtaking them, what the Levite, what the ministry of God has to do is stand between the living and the dead and stop the plague. And this is what all these last 3 weeks have really been about us getting to the place where we understand that our knowing or not knowing truth can free people or keep people in bondage. Our being able to minister correctly to them is the difference of life and death, our blessings and cursings. Reading at the bottom of page, well, let's see, we're through there. Top of page 167, the first paragraph, the purpose of ministry. Purpose of ministry is not only preaching on Sunday. Purpose of ministry is to know how to stop plagues in the lives of people. There's one more verse that we are all familiar with. It is Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. What does he say according to this verse lets you be a priest? What? Knowledge. See, that's the difference. How do you minister to this? What do I tell this person? Because you've rejected my knowledge, then I'm going to reject you. You can't be a priest for me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, see, that's what he's talking about here. I will also forget thy children. This verse does not mention plagues. However, we all know that not using the knowledge of God will bring terrible effects upon our lives. Now, that's an Old Testament verse, but is it true? It's just as true today as it was then. The purpose of ministry is to possess this knowledge and minister at the tabernacle of the congregation, at the altar of God. Now, that's where we've been after. Now, there is an overview and an outline of all of these steps and all of these aspects and principles that we've looked at these past 3 weeks. But the Levite, everybody is not a Levite. I think that's necessary. I don't want everybody laying hands on me to start with. Everybody doesn't know the truth. Everybody won't spend the time in the Word. A lot of people have rejected the knowledge. They don't know how to minister. A lot of people, if you get ministry from them, you're going to be in a worse mess than you were before you got ministry. That's why the Bible says to know them that labor among you. Know their lives. What do they do? Do they know? What is their life like? Know those that labor among you. Must be a cleansing and a washing. And we talked about that. Moses sprinkled them, but they were responsible to wash their body. They were responsible to put on clean garments. We talked about all that. I sprinkle you with the Word on Wednesdays. I sprinkle you with the Word on Sundays. But until you get in that Word yourself, you will not be able to minister to people. until you get into the washing of the water by the Word, till you dive in the labor bowl and you get so deep in it that it's, you swim in it, then you won't be able to minister to people. You just won't be able to. And we talked about that's how you get clean. We're not talking about cleansing here from sin. We're talking about cleansing so you can minister. I want clean people to minister to me. And I ain't talking about they got to be faultless by doing them blameless. I want them washed by the water, and I want them washed by the blood. Okay? Shaved. They got to have clean flesh. Talked about the hair thing and all that. And that's all on the tape. Not going to go back. Willingness to sacrifice. They had to bring these expensive things. They had to bring two bullocks. And they had to provide for all of this feasting. One was given to a burnt sacrifice, a sin offering, and one other was given to a meal offering. And there was this fellowshipping. And we talked about the expense that it cost to minister. If people won't go to the expense to have you in their homes, if they won't spend time with you, go out to eat with you, if they won't come and prepare you a meal, then they're really not interested in you because they're not willing to pay the price to minister to you. It's expensive. Brought before the congregation and hands laid by the congregation. There was this recognition. The people recognized these as leaders. Spend time with Aaron for cleansing and sacrifices. And they were under the authority of Aaron and his sons. And they rehearsing in the hearing of their understanding. They belonged to God. It's a way of lifestyle. They served Aaron. They understood their purpose was to stop the plagues in people's lives. Folks, that's really why we exist. We exist here as a kingdom of priests. And I don't know what that means to you. But the reason he chose me, Doug, was to be a priest. The reason I live, the reason I was born, was to help people. To stop the plagues in their lives. Last paragraph under that. Before the Lord permitted ministry, the ceremony took place and rehearsed the agreement of the duties. The ceremony brought to light the calling of the individual. All saw the cleansing of the water by the Word and shaving of the flesh. This was something that was apparent. When you're called for ministry, it's apparent in your life. It's you can't hide it. You mean, when they shaved their head, how many knows if you shaved your head, somebody would notice? So these are apparent things. The agreement and the association of the people took place by the laying on of hands. The to be ordained at Levites then spent time with Aaron. Authority was established, duties rehearsed, and purposes established. With all this done, they went in to do their services in the tabernacle of the congregation and will draw in future ordinations. Every deacon and every elder, we will draw as we ordain them from the principles that we've established here. Okay. Finishing up this chapter, 20 and 5 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the services of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, what we're talking about here is retirement for the Levite. Now, I'm going to touch you a little bit. So I'm just wanting to help you. I want to stop the plagues in your life. So pay attention. Now, Numbers 8:24 says, This is that belongeth unto the Levites. From 20 and 5 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the services of the tabernacle of the congregation. How old were they when they could begin ministering? 25. Verse 25 says, and from the age 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the services thereof and shall serve no more. When did they stop ministering? 50. They began at 25, they had 25 years of service, and at 50, they began retiring. And you'll see it in the next verse, verse 26, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge. They were to keep the charge and shall do service. They shall do no service. They weren't to do any heavy stuff. The weighty stuff was now transferred to the younger ones. They had trained up and raised these younger people up. Now they were transferring the weight of the ministry to the shoulders of the younger. Thus shall thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge. Now, what I want to deal with here is the retirement for this Levite. They begin at 25. They quit at 50. Or they began quitting. So the ages of 25 to 50 were very strong. We're very viral. Our bodies are firm. Our bodies are strong. We move pretty quick. But when you get to 50 or close to it, you begin noticing something. Things slow down. I'm on page 168. Our bodies change. I never had this little ring around my area here until lately. And I'm not as firm. I can't do what I used to be able to do. I have to really watch how much I eat. I love to eat more than I've ever loved. And I've got to eat less. That's terrible. Something's wrong with it. Now, there's several principles here. And I'm gonna hit about three principles right here quickly for you. First principle is, according to that, then, what part does God really want? Now, I'm not talking about age so much as I'm talking here about our strength and our... And does he want us, after we've worked all week long like a dog and we're tired and we come to church and yawn and sit there and shake our heads to fight sleep, is that what God wants? Or does he want that part of you that's awake and moves and is quick? That's what he really wants. He wants our strength. He wants our best. But a lot of people come in on Sundays too tired, too wore out to praise God. Folks, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. People talk to me all the time. They're just working too much. They're tired. Can't get to church. They can't come to home church. They can't come to this. Or they can't go to that. They can't minister to people. They can't. Because I'm working too much and I'm tired. Well, somewhere the priorities are messed up. See, what the Lord really wants is the best part. Okay, then principle number two. These older ministries were always training up younger ministries. Now, what this will do, Don, is always bring a change. It always brings a newness and a freshness, innovation. Change is good. As long as you're changing, you're growing. Okay? If you stop changing, you stop growing. You stop moving. You stop doing anything. So you're always bringing up these newer ministries, these stronger and broader shoulders, to come forth and carry the weight with new ways and more innovative ways and maybe better ways. And it eliminates dead works. How many knows that if we're not cautious, we can get in rituals, even in church? And see, I'm coming to the place where I really don't like to change a whole lot. Somebody said, well, let's do that. I don't want to. Nah, it's okay. Just leave it like it is. It's working. And that didn't used to be like that. Joyce, yeah, let's try that. So I'm starting to understand this. You see, I'm 46. Yeah, 46 years old. Next month, 18th, I'm going to make a note, 47. But I'm starting to see myself slow down. I'm starting to see that I'm not as strong. I don't feel older. I still think I'm young. Yeah. Yeah, I will always be a young. But there's something about this temple, this tabernacle, that's changing. I'll be 46. Okay, thank you. See, I mean, you're younger than I thought I was. It's another thing you notice, you forget those years. You don't know if it was when you was 14 or 15. You know, you just knew, boy, you wanted 16. Then you wanted 21. And then you knew how many days. But when you get, it doesn't matter. You just don't want them to come anymore. But now the option, I would rather have the birthday than the option. Amen. I'm not ready to meet the Lord. I know him, but I don't want to meet him. those people that say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, they really don't know what they're asking for. But that is judgment day. I want to have it as good as I can get it before that day comes. Where am I? Principle number two. They always rearing up newer and innovated ministries, eliminating dead works. And so they were always keeping a vibrancy and a newness and an excitement about the things of God. Principle number three. This allowed early retirement. And it allowed the retiree to ease out. And it wasn't just a cut off, and all of a sudden his purposes had ended. And you know, it wasn't like that. He could ease out. The older was kept around to oversee, keep the charge, but he wasn't supposed to lift. He wasn't supposed to carry the weight. I want to read now the third paragraph down. It starts with, though I am 45. Though I am only 45, I can see how this will work for us. I plan to do less and less of the weightiness of the ministry in the years to come. I plan always to be around, but not carrying the weight I now carry. I am raising the younger with new zeal and ways to carry the gospel. When done properly, the people will develop confidence in the new. At the same time, the old enjoys fewer days of ministering, less weight, less pressures, and enjoys old age. Old age should be a blessing. It should not be a burden. Okay? So I'm already thinking about these things, you see? I'm already planning on my easing from the carrying of so much of the weight of this ministry. And the way I have to do it is I have to rear up new ministry. You won't mind if I don't preach if there's somebody that can preach better. Now, I know some of you say, oh, there's nobody that can preach any better than you, Pastor. But if I can rear up people that can do it better than me, you won't mind if I don't do it. In fact, you would say, God, old man, sit down. Let the kid do it. Now, I saw some interesting thoughts here that I'm just sharing as we quit. But I don't find any place else in the Scriptures where, say, God told Judah how old to be when they retired. The only people I find that God tells them when to start working and when to stop working is the Levite. Does anybody else have a Scripture for me? Now, I really got something here, and I think it's good. And I've got here in the notes that I suppose that a person of Judah would plow until they just couldn't plow anymore. You know, I guess that's the way they went out. But it wasn't the way it was supposed to be with the Levite. Now, I really think that what I'm seeing here is that we need old and experienced ministry walking around. But we really do need new and strong leadership. When I was 25 years old, I was a very good daddy. I had a short fuse. My patience span was not very long at all. And that's what you really need for rearing children. Am I right? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You don't need to be able to put up with a lot when you're rearing children. When you say no, that means no, and that means no. No one time, no two times, no three times. I mean, that's the way I was. But as I'm growing older, my patience has changed, and newer ministry, as they come in, they're going to be short fused. They're going to hit it. They want it fixed. They want it done now. And as we rear up new ministry with old overseeing, then what we find is that the old walking around and keeping the young in line, that's good. And it's wisdom, because a wise young man should and will listen to a wise old man. That's good. But we need the old moved out. We need the new brought in. Now, you're not agreeing with me right now. But listen, if there's somebody that can do it better than me, that's younger than me, then let them do it. What happened to Moses? Moses got him as far as he could take him. And then it was Joshua's turn. And so what I'm seeing here is that we've got to have this in our thinking. And we've got to understand the rearing up of that. The neat point about the retirement of the Levite is he remained a Levite. And I like this because he continued all the blessings that we've already talked about the Levites did. He kept eating from the altar. He received his cities. He received his portion of the tithes and the redemption money. He remained receiving even though he wasn't carrying the weight of the thing. That's good. I like that. Now everyone else got their lands and their portion. They got their inheritance. But the Levites' inheritance was who? The Lord God. Deuteronomy 18:1, to the right there, the priest, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. We've talked about this. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among the brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them. What does that mean? I've taught you what it meant. Everybody else got their land. They lived off their land. They lived off of off the things that the land could produce. Who'd the Levites get? They got the Lord. So they lived off the Lord. And all the Lord could produce. And that's the way it really worked. And we've already talked about that. So that's the way it's easing out. And I've got peace with this. I'm not threatened. But I really do believe that's the way to go. I really see the principles there. And I really see the purposes there. As long as we're rearing up ministry and training up ministry that can do it as well and better, then let's utilize that ministry. I'll be taken care of. If I'm a Levite, then I've got to prepare, number one, ministry to replace me, and number two, make sure it's at the altar to eat. Okay? So it'll all work out. So if I'm a Levite, then I'll be preparing, and I'll know, and it'll happen. But I want to end with this, with what about your retirement? What are your personal plans for retirement? Can you kick back when you're about 50? Are you going to have to keep after it till about 65? Or probably by the time most of you get ready for 65, they're going to kick it up to 70 or 75. So where are you at with your retirement? See, do you have control of your finances? Or do your finances control you? Can you begin right now to prepare for that time? Is old age for you going to be a burden? Or is it going to be a blessing? I want to remind us as I close that, once again, according to Revelation 1:6, 1 Peter 2:9, that we're all called to be a kingdom of priests. That means that this retirement can and should include each one of you. But it requires preparation. I worry about the people of God. I worry about them. They're not ready. They're not ready for nothing. For the most part. And I'm not talking about you all. I know everybody here has got it together. Finances are in order. Everything's straight right down the line. I know. Because you go to the church at Lafayette and we teach the truth. But there really are Christians who live from last week to last week. They can't make this week. They're still living. They don't have enough to get this week. They're still living last week. And folks, I'm telling you, that's not God. The enemy has you in a bondage. And And you can't retire if you wanted to. You can't take a vacation. You can't do nothing. Your children aren't going to get an inheritance because there's not going to be anything to inherit except debt. What about you and your retirement? Just because we're Christians. Don't mean you're free. You know the truth, and the truth that you know makes you free. How many of us knows that this thing says to owe no man nothing except to love him? My goodness. I was talking with Turk down on the telephone, and he had told me an interesting thing about what he's doing for the new baby. I guess, does everybody know that we have a new Garzon? Garzon's son? And he's doing, what was those numbers by me again? Just $9 or something? Or? Okay, I'll just do a little bit, just this group.
$9.61 put away per week for REIT for 40 years in a good mutual fund. It's a mutual fund that averages 16%. That $9.61 will be, was it four or two? I can't think. $2.2 million.
By how long?
For 40 years.
But 40 years.
That still is only.
So the kid is guaranteed, when he's 40 years old, to be a two-millionaire.
Your contribution is still only $20,000.
You put in $20,000, and the law of compound interest takes over, and it's the law of God, and there he goes. So, you know what? You know, we've got to somehow. I don't know how to help folks with this, but somehow, you know, we've really got to break some things that are being handed down from generation to generation. You know, we've really got to do it, and maybe we can come up with something. But what about your retirement? Are you planning it? Are you thinking about it? Most of us are pretty young. Some of us have already retired. But most of us are pretty young and can still do something. What did you tell me that if I did that until I was 65, you don't remember?
If you do what you're doing to your 65, yours was $4.8 million, I believe.
$4.8 million, and that's $100.
And I told Judy, but if you left it alone, it's incredible. But if you leave it alone for five more years after that and not touch it, that's not going to go 5 more years. It gets up to $7 or $8 million.
Yeah. I know. I'm messing his. I'm all in his mess. But
because of that, when you find the news pastor, you do not have to do it again.
See?
Everybody remember that.
But say, I could eat off the altar.
Yes, sir.
I can still eat off my altar, man. I have. That's right. And that's what I'm saying. I have to prepare the altar, but I also have to prepare the ministry.
The point is, because you are debt free,
right,
you can do that.
Right.
First, you have to take the first step.
Get debt free. Amen.
But most people want everything.
Anyway, Tara's going to do that Sunday, okay? Is that good?
That's true, but it's really bad economics to pay 90% interest APR and try to say that. It's really crazy. But you're right. If you get to be 45, that would take more than $9 a week.
You
can
at least
get
still 40 years, though. That's 40 years is the
40 years, no
thing. Amen. We've done. That's right. We finished chapter 8, and we've looked at the ministering and of the Levite, the ordination, and talked about retirement. And I really want those things to stick in you and get into your spirits, because folks, when people come here on Sundays, listen, it's basically up to us to minister to them. Am I right? If they get ministered to, it's basically going to be these people that are going to go down there and pray with them, that are going to go down there and try to stay the plague. Am I right? So we've got to understand that when we go, man, there is a plague going on in this life. And I've got to get in there with my censer, and I've got to stop that thing. Do best I can. Amen? Let's stand. Let's lift our hands, please, just for a few seconds. We won't linger here. I just want to see what the Lord's saying. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we lift our hands to you. We thank you, Lord, for your word.